Forgot to put my table up here before church. This morning I came and hung out with Grace Church. That's the church that's been meeting in this building for the last 10 years. And they've been a church for 12 years. They were at another building for two. And then they got this space, and God had brought resources, and it was just a big open warehouse. Apparently, back in the day, it was a pretty sweet pool hall. Was anyone ever here when you could shoot pool in this building? Of course you were. Oh, long story, that one. It was, you know what? It's been a place, a building in our city that people have used for different things. And it was Grace Church that had the resources, and they built this. And God is leading them on to a new facility. And if I told you the story, it would take too long, but the short story is we needed a place to start meeting in person again, and I talked with their pastor, and he's like, well, you could rent it out in the afternoon. And so we did. About 2-3 weeks in, he was like, yeah, you know, we might be moving. And I finally turned like and said, what do you mean, might be moving? And as it would be, the Lord has opened the door for us to come in. So welcome to our first, like, starting after today, we can do whatever we want. We could tear a wall down. We could tear the roof off, spiritually speaking. I wanted to share that because next week we're going to go back to 10 in the morning. So it'll be nice to gather back at our kind of 10 o'clock morning spot. But for the very first time that they're moving out, we're moving in, that we get to do something real special today. And this is dedicate children to the Lord. And you guys know I'm a fan of dedicating things to God. You better watch out. I'll just dedicate you to Jesus. But we're going to get to it in a few weeks, but there's a verse in I think it's in Zechariah, where God speaks to the remnant. That we're in a series called Remnant right now. And God speaks to the people who have started when it gets hard, and he said, don't you dare look down upon small beginnings, because God delights in small beginnings. As a matter of fact, God gets really fired up to see a small group of people. Something start with blood, sweat, and tears, and it may not look like much to the world, but in God's eyes, it is epic. And what a great parallel when thinking of a child. The world's just like, oh, it's another kid. But you know, when it's your kid, you're like, this is not just an ordinary child. This is the greatest child in the world. And God gives you that heart because that's what he thinks about your kid. So I wanted to share something with you guys today before we bring up these families. And we pray for them, and you get to meet them and meet their little one that they're bringing to the Lord today. I think Uriah is going to have this on the screen, but if you have your Bible, would you open up to the book of 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel, I'm going to read to you guys chapter 1 because it's so cool, and it's like a story of a child dedication in Scripture. Let me pray real quick. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we believe that you are doing an amazing work in our world. We believe that you want to do an amazing work in our city. And Lord, if we zoom it in even closer, we believe you want to do a transformative, amazing work in our own homes and in our own lives. So Lord, we open up your word and we open up our hearts. We ask that we could receive what it is that you want to impart to us in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was thinking about child dedication, this story just flew off the pages to me. So can I read to you guys something and before we bring these guys up here? This is in the book of 1 Samuel, and it says this in verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. Did you guys get all those? So Elkanah is the name. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, something else. And this one of them had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3, now this man used to go up year by year from the city to worship, from his city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of these other guys were priests of the Lord. On a certain day, Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Phinehas, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, that this other gal used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept, and she would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Such a typical husband thing to say. Like, yo, girl, ain't I enough? Don't I do it for you? After they had eaten and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she was deeply distressed. And she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow, and this is what she said. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Apparently, God likes hippie children. No razor touches his head. Are you guys with me? As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, and only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Bit of comedy here. And he said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah said, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit, and I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before God. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. Let's skip down to verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband. So God heard her. She had a baby. It was growing in her belly. And he went back to give the yearly sacrifices. And she says, no, I'm going to stay here. As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. It's a cool story. There's a backstory, of course, just like every child. And I just wanted to share a couple of things about child dedication that is awesome, that is universal for all kids, and it's worth celebrating. The first thing is that child, according to God, are a gift and a blessing. Remember that when the days are hard and it's 103 outside and you're trying to keep your kids occupied, kids are a blessing. The Bible actually calls them a gift from God. The second thing is that we all have different stories. Not everyone has Hannah's story. Not every child's backstory is the same. We all come to have children from And it's so cool to hear families and how they raise their kids, where they were when they, when their child was born or when they received their child. Every kid has a unique backstory. Another thing about our kids is that no child is exempt of God's desire. Like I said earlier, we live in a world where some kids are looked at with more merit or more special than other kids, but that is not the case in God's eyes. Every child is wanted desperately by God. Did you know there's a weird word right there at the end in verse 27? It says, "And Hannah lent God her child." It says, "Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." I was like, that is an odd word. So I was looking it up. It literally means I loaned him out to God. When you loan something to someone, it's because they asked for it. You don't just walk around being like, "Hey, let me loan you this." Someone says, "Hey, could I borrow something?" Yeah, of course. That's God's desire for our kids. "Hey, would you entrust your kid to me? I have some cool things in store for them. I know them a little bit better than you because I created them. Would you loan them to me?" His desire is for all kids. Another thing is that God uses our kids in amazing ways now, not when they become adults. It's not like kids are in this practice stage until you become 18 or 21. Matter of fact, you start making like worse decisions then. But that children in God's hands are worth so much now. He uses them in amazing ways now. If you skip ahead into chapter 3, Samuel was living at the temple at this point. His mom brought him there. Every year she would bring him a new tunic. She'd see how he was doing. But he was staying there living with Eli the priest. And when he was just a boy, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, who was the priest." Check this out. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions." It was a culture and time when there weren't a lot of people listening for God's voice. God wasn't speaking, and he decided to speak. You know who he spoke to? A little boy. He did something special through a little boy, not a grown priest. That's why when Jesus talks about the faith of a child, there are actually things that we learn from our kids. The last thing that I want to share is that that we will pass the torch of all of our experience, all of our successes, all of our mistakes, and our kids are going to go to a place that we will never go. As Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4 puts it like this: "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children's of one's youth." What does a warrior do with arrows? He shoots them far and he shoots them accurate. That's God's plan for kids. They are arrows. We want to shoot them to places that we might not ever see, but we believe that for our kids' lives. Can I hear an amen? So as we bring up these families, you understand what they are saying in bringing the Lord. It's saying in essence, "God, thank you for this gift. Let me give you some other things that it's saying." I'll say it for them. We don't really have too much of a clue how to do this. We're trying our best. We make mistakes, but we want our kids to know you. We want them to love you. They have specific things that they've shared for their kids that we'll read when they come up. But that's what it's saying. "God, please help us. We're setting our family and our kid apart for your purposes and your will That's what they're saying. So let's bring up this first family. Let's bring up the Hilton family, Anne-Marie, Scott, and Brooke. Will you guys welcome them up here? Nice. Hi, Brooke. Looking lovely. Your cheeks are red. I like your dress. Scott, I'm going to give the mic to Scott. There was something that he wanted to share to you guys about his daughter, and then I'll say something, then we'll pray for them.
Thank you. Yeah. Brooke, we thank God every day for you. You know, Mom and I pray that you will grow to have great faith, like JJ said. We pray you look to God for comfort, because he gives better comfort than anyone or anything else can ever give you. Ultimately, we pray you find your own faith, but we want it to be all yours. We hope that many years from now you can look back at today and see that so many people love you, and hopefully you will see this as a start of a great relationship with Jeremiah, with Titus, anybody else out here, new other kids, and JJ, and everybody else here. Everybody really loves you, Brooke.
That's awesome. He also said, I had him write just a little something. We pray Brooke comes to know and understand God's unconditional love and that she mirrors that in her life. So well spoken. Can we pray for Brooke and the Hilton family? Now, this is like I said last week when I gave everybody the heads up of what was going on. This is a dedication of their child, but this is also a dedication of this family from our church to them, that we are going to partner with them to see everything that they just said come to fruition in Brooke's life, because they have a team, a support, and a family here. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you so much for little Brooke. Lord, she is made in the image of God. Before the foundations of the world, you saw this little girl. You saw this day. You saw this family. The backstory of how Scott and Anne-Marie met, all of their ups and downs, the things that brought them to Bellingham here and now and this very day. You have always gone before them. You go before them now. And so, Lord, we dedicate this little girl to you. We ask in faith that she would know that she is adored by you. We pray that this would be a community of people who sees the value and gives so much honor and support to Brooke and to her mom and dad. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this little girl. We thank you for this family. And we lift them up to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. She's like, don't you touch me, dude. Okay, thanks. That's how all little girls look at me until they get to know me. Then we're buds. It's actually how most people look at me until they get to know me. Hey, next, can we bring up Jason and Caitlin and Jeremiah? Will you guys welcome them up? What's up, dude? How you doing, buddy? Jeremiah. JP. Jeremiah means God will exalt. I love what you guys shared with me. It says, we pray that he will be a great light and example for Jesus in the ever-changing world. That he shows love and grace to everyone he meets, and that he follows God's path for his life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this family. Lord, when I think about different stories and backstories and even this church, Caitlin moved up from San Diego to follow you in a step of faith, and now look at her 7 years later and where you have her standing with her husband and her son. I think about Jason the same way, and now they're standing complete, one family in you, and this amazing baby boy that you have gifted to this family. Not just as a gift, but in the whole world, you saw this couple and you said, these are the ones that I want to raise, JP. And so you have brought them together. And I thank you for their prayer of faith over their son. And we ask, Lord, that you would answer their prayer, that JP would know your love, that he would be able to share out of that experience. The word steadfast comes to mind when they talk about an ever-changing world. Lord, would he stand steadfast in your word and in your promises and on your greatness, Lord? We thank you for the Martinsons. We thank you for JP. We ask that you would bless them, give them guidance and wisdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. High five, dude.
You can do it.
Knuckles. Yeah. Not just two, we get to do three. Come on up, Mahoney's. This is Titus. He has the hiccups, which is doubly cute. Titus means title of honor. This is what Ben and Melinda shared with me. We have been praying that Titus would honor God all the days of his life and that he would be a mighty leader for his generation and have a hunger for the word of God. Isn't it crazy to think that we have multiple generations in one room? We come in at different seasons, we go out at different seasons, but the work of God continues on. And just the prayer of faith that this little man right here would grow to be a servant leader is a very cool thing. So let's pray for him. Hey, buddy. He was laughing at me before church. With me, not at me. Lord, we thank you for Titus. We thank you for the Mahoney family. For Ben, Melinda, we thank you for your guidance and your grace. And your love. He wants the mic right now. You can't have it. Lord, and in faith, we come alongside their prayer that he would love your word, love your heart, and love your people. And that you would give him guidance and strength and wisdom. We love you very much. We pray for a good nap as well this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job, parents. For what it's worth, I remember when we stood with our little boys. You feel like you know them better than anyone else in this whole world. Isn't that crazy? He picked you to be the parents. With your ineptness and your mistakes and all of your stuff, he chose you to parent these kids. I remember standing with our boys, and in a sense, it's just like, Lord, you say you know the direction that you'll go. Please help us to put us on that path. And that's the heart for all of us as we see these kids. What an honor and what a gift it is. So in response to that, could we join together in faith and just sing a couple of songs to the Lord, and let's put him where he deserves to be, and that's in the forefront of our minds and hearts, looking to him for guidance and wisdom and grace.